I have a phrase I said once, if you're going to go to hell, you might as well come out well done.
That's right.
Like, I'm burnt to a crisp at this point.
Hey, everyone. I'm Morgan DeBond, a passionate entrepreneur and life advisor. With the Journey podcast, you'll discover that success isn't about the destination, it's about the journey. I'm sharing stories of amazing people who've taken control of their lives. Join me on my own journey to discover the secret sauce behind reaching success with permission from no one else. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Journey podcast. I'm really excited today because I am joined by the fabulous, multi-hyphenate, award-winning artist, creative, and new podcaster, Chrisette Michelle. Welcome to the Journey podcast.
Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about some of your own journey. You've lived a really long life already. You've had multiple phases in your life as a creative and as an artist. We're going to talk about your new transition into adding another title to your world of podcaster. And I'm just curious, you know, just to start off, I mean, I grew up singing your songs. Oh, wow. I'm not a singer.
That's okay. Okay. Everybody's a singer.
You know what I'm saying? Well, that was it, I guess. I don't know. Don't gas me. But how would you describe yourself to someone who isn't familiar with you?
My first thought of who I am is definitely creative. But from the outside looking in, I would say a recording artist who tours.
Mm.
It's hard to figure out what people see you as when there's so many platforms and channels to express yourself on.
Mm-hmm.
Because on TikTok, I might be a stripper, honey. Do you know what I mean? And that might be what I am.
I agree.
But on Instagram, in so many ways, I'm a community builder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a conversationalist. And I came into the business before there was Instagram and Twitter.
Yes.
So for me, the first thing that Twitter and Instagram was conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a way to promote items. And so for me, a part of who I am is a conversationalist. That's probably my favorite part of myself. But then on the finance side, Jesus Christ, that's a whole other like managerial space or just leadership in the financial space.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're an entrepreneur. So I'm an entrepreneur. And then obviously I'm a Grammy Award winning world touring recording artist,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the easiest part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the part that feels the easiest.
It's the easiest because it has a system.
Tell me more. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So there's a business model. There's people assigned to each item that needs to occur in the business. Everybody understands what the goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of creativity that goes into being a recording artist and touring artist.
Mm.
That's more of a, on Fridays this happens, on Sundays this happens. These are the flights that she will and won't take. These mm-hmm. are the amount of people on the team. This is the band. This is mm-hmm. how much they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just business.
Mm.
I hate to put the word just in front of business, but business is fun when there's systems. Creativity is fun when there's freedom.
Mm.
And so they're much different spaces.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when you said creativity is fun when there's freedom,
mm-hmm.
where are you finding yourself spending the most time as a creative right now?
Because I am a creative. You ever hear like somebody say, I am music.
Yes.
I am acting.
Like personified.
I am creative all the time until the point where it's embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
Like if I'm shopping in Whole Foods, I'm like, this tomato is more red than this tomato.
I'm dead.
And this yellow goes really good with this blue. Like it's all the time. It's annoying.
Yeah.
And so I am always that. And I understand what you're saying about like, how much literal balance do you have between your entrepreneurial side,
mm.
your creating the system side, and the creativity side. But when you're naturally a creative, it's all creative.
Mm.
It's all creative. And you're always listening for the creativity. You respond to things as a creator. Self-discipline is not always being a creative.
Mm-hmm.
That is the discipline is, okay, Chrissy, this is not playtime.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, where are we going with this?
Yeah, you don't have to have a happy planner to come into this meeting.
Yeah.
But I do. I have the stickers. I have the markers. Because I can't sit still for a long time.
Mm.
So that's my gift to myself is being myself.
Yeah.
It's hard at times because people don't always get it.
Right.
But I've shown up to business meetings and angel wings. You'll have to forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think being an artist kind of allows people to have the space to be full creative. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I look at women that we grew up listening to and artists that I listen to and support, I support people who live in their creative essence more often than not. Mm-hmm. And as a business person, I don't feel like we're allowed that freedom to like walk in a room in our full creative era. Like, it's like, ma'am, can you put a little more structure into this system, into mm-hmm. this conversation? I wonder, like, for you, when I talk to artists, a lot of artists don't feel in control. Like, the way that you just said, like, a lot of artists, they feel reluctant to the business behind the structure that they have to be a part of in order to get their music out into the world. Mm-hmm. But that didn't sound like you feel any sort of resistance to the business structure. Have you always been that way, or?
Yeah. If you don't understand that I'm a creative, then you're not listening.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you don't understand that I'm Black, then you're not listening. Mm. If you don't understand that I'm a female, then you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a creative, period.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can submit to what has to be done in order to share my creativity. But the act of decide, I'm going to share this with somebody,
mm-hmm.
asks you to submit to systems. And so I think that sometimes it takes some artists longer to study systems, to study structure, to study business,
mm-hmm.
that is a whole entire study. That's a skill set. Mm-hmm. That's something that you decide, who will I bring on to work through this part? And I think a lot of times artists try to become business people.
Yeah.
I'm not a business person.
Right.
I run a business.
Mm.
I'm the face of my business. And you hear a lot of business people say, I don't want to be the face of my business.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a business people thing to say. I mm-hmm. think I've heard you say it before.
But I've definitely said that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's kind of one of my favorite reasons for sitting down with you, is because from the outside looking in, you are literally this woman who has created, that word would be next to your name,
mm-hmm.
created so many incredible outlets for our Blackness to be explained and, mm-hmm. and expressed, etc. But then I look to people like you to express myself.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I stand on shoulders like yours.
Mm-hmm.
To express myself. So without the you, there is no,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? Because I would never think to share what's inside. It wouldn't occur to me.
Mm.
I would just skip around and
just be in your...
Yeah, live in a tiny house, grow apples, be totally fine.
Y'all, Chrisette is an earthy lady. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this until like 5 seconds ago. I mean, I kind of could tell from like your Instagram posts and, you know, I read a lot of your comments and you respond. Your social actually really is a conversation. You said a lot of artists and people in the world, you know, they just put things out and then they kind of retreat because the dialogue can be overwhelming and the conversation can be overwhelming. And when you invite conversation, then you invite opinions, negativity, all these other things that we'll get to in a second. But my point was, how did you decide to foster and embrace this part of yourself in terms of being someone interested in pushing conversation forward when you could also make the choice to say, like, I'm a creative and I'm going to put things out because they need to be out in the world, not because I want to engage in dialogue.
Mm-hmm. I love that question because I noticed that that's the two types of creatives in, I'm going to say, the industry. I get this talk or this call from Stevie Wonder and Indy Irey from time to time.
Mm.
It's your responsibility to say this. And I'm like, oh, but it didn't occur to me to say it.
Yeah.
And then you hear people like, I won't say other people's names, but they'll say, I'm not your role model.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and it's like, there's this choice that you're constantly up against, which is, am I representing someone?
Yeah.
Or am I representing my heart?
Mm.
And that's a really difficult choice to make, and you make it daily.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question as best as I can, transparently, it doesn't always occur to me to represent a lot of things and people.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes it occurs to me to color a heart pink
mm-hmm.
without any explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And I get in trouble for that all the time.
Mm. What would be your advice to someone who feels like they're getting pressure to speak out about any issue under the sun
mm-hmm.
when they're like, well, I chose to be a creative to make music and I'm glad that people are listening to it. I'm glad I'm building a community. I'm glad this is resonating with them. I chose to be an actor to be an actor. I didn't choose to be a public figure.
Yeah.
How would you advise them, or what would you say is like how they should think through making that type of choice for themselves?
Is it your purpose or is it your panic? That's the question I would ask you to ask yourself. Are you panicking to respond because you're afraid of what will happen if you don't?
Mm.
Or is it your purpose, your duty, your life, your heart-given need to say something in this moment, to be something in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
All the mistakes that I've made publicly have been from panic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, if I don't say this, then this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's illogical. It's unfair to your rested self
mm-hmm.
Because God has a plan for you. And if you decide to try and make the plan because you're afraid of not knowing the plan, then that's called pressure. That's what pressure is. It's not a lot of pressure when it's your purpose. It's free. It's easy. It's honest. It can be uncomfortable because people may not understand, but it resonates with you. Yeah. So most of my biggest mistakes were mistakes that I made from feeling obligated to respond. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like I have that struggle too at times. Like, you know, Blavity represents so much for so many people in different industries, right? In Afrotech, we've got an attack on DE&I and inclusivity. And, you know, we built an entire ecosystem to help Black folks advance in technology, get better jobs, raise money for their venture fund, raise money for their startup. And this data is worse today than it was 7 years ago when we started the brand, right? When it comes to travel noir and Black folks being able to travel around the world, feels like every day we're in countries where it's like, oh, if we should actually be there. I don't know if we should be in America, honestly, sometimes. Yeah, like, I don't know if we're really helping you guys, you know? And then I think about even Shadow and Act, same thing, right? Like, it was a platform for people to share their voices. And then I hear people like Issa talk about, well, I need to go create my own platform because I'm a part of the system and I actually am feeling even restricted. And someone as successful and as powerful as her. So, like, I ask myself sometimes, what is the point? And I say this knowing, like, there is a point, but sometimes in my head I say, does any of this matter? Like, are we actually collectively pushing culture forward? Or are we all just, like, self-fulfilling echo chamber, just talking to one another just for the sake of talking to one another? What do you think?
We're definitely pushing culture forward. We're definitely pushing culture forward. That made my stomach get butterflies because that's what purpose feels like. Purpose feels like I have something to do. I have something to say. Okay, so a place where I feel very purposeful is in bipolar awareness with Black women. That's so niche. It's so whatever. Specific. But whenever someone hires me to speak, they are so thankful that that's one of the topics. And women come up to me all the time and say, I didn't want to tell anybody I was bipolar until I became successful. Because they want to say that I'm not your crazy person. I'm not your mentally disabled person, or I don't have a mental illness, because they don't want people to stigmatize them before they get a chance to express themselves, right? So one of my purposes is I'm bipolar too, and this is what it can look like. And you can be stable, and you can have a good life, and you can be successful. And I feel like I have to say that. For all the people who feel misrepresented by whoever the big person is that's saying they're bipolar and showing it in a different light. So I think that pushes culture forward. It's my little tiny thing, right? It's not this big, lavish, multi-million dollar thing. It's bipolar too. So I think when we have someone to say our purpose to, and we know that we can pull that one person up, it pushes culture forward for sure, even if it's just one person.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to hold on to it as well. Like, that's how I ground myself when I feel like, does it matter? I always go to, frankly, the comments. Like, when we post and feature a small business owner on Travel Noir, and like, there's this Black girl who opened up a Pilates studio in, I think, North Carolina, and we featured her, and she's like, this is everything. And I'm like, that matters, you know, that matters, right? And for anyone who's listening who has that feeling sometimes where you feel like you're screaming into a black hole or you're swimming in the ocean, hold on to the, like, okay, how can you ground yourself in that feeling? But it gets me too.
Yeah. You know, it's that one person.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if we're going to be completely corny, sometimes I go and find that person in the comment, go follow them, and just like a bunch of their posts and be like, I see you, sis.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. It's just those little things.
Absolutely. I'll send voice notes to people.
Yeah.
Like, don't be asking for no voice notes.
Right.
I will send them and just be like, hey. You know, like if someone asks a question, I'll just like respond in a little voice note.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice. Let's talk about moments in which you felt like you were in panic. And what are your strategies or recommendations for people to evaluate this is panic? Like, how do you identify it? And then how do you move past it?
Yeah. So the biggest panic I ever had was when Donald Trump was about to become the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Now, we could say, oh, everybody was panicked, but I'd rather say I was panicked and I was freaking out. And a lot of the thoughts and ideas that I had at that time came from this, oh, my God, what the heck is America about to be? what the heck is my community about to be? What the heck is life about to be? I remember being in Barbados on the election night, and I had a green apple martini in my hand, and I'm watching through the middle of the night. There's no way.
I know, it was a long night.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And I remember finding out that Hillary Clinton did not become the president of the United States and literally being afraid to go back, like afraid to get back on the airplane. I remember we were walking to the beach and people were like, where are you from? And I was just like, I put on an accent and they may believe that was from somewhere. This is terrible to say, but I was literally, because I travel around the world often.
Right.
I was afraid for the conversation that was going to happen around the world. I was afraid for what it meant to be American in that hour and for what it meant to be Black American in that hour. And so a lot of my choices in that season of my life for sure came from, how can I fix this? Like, what can little me do to fix some part of this freak out moment?
Right.
And for me, it was calling up a couple of friends. Some declined, some said they would. But calling up a friend and saying, will you sing with me at this freaky place? Maybe we can make some sort of a difference. Maybe. I think that was a panic decision. I think it was a I'm freaking out decision. I've learned that things pass. Bad moments pass. Scary things pass. And so learning how to breathe through the most uncomfortable moments, even if your country's on fire, you still get to breathe. And there's this guilt that I would have as an artist who felt responsible to represent a community. This guilt that I had about breathing comfortably in those moments. I'd be holding my breath. I'd stop eating because as an artist, you got to do something. And I did the wrong thing.
And do you feel like you did the wrong thing or do you feel like it was received wrong?
Yeah. So if we're talking specifically about artist responsibility, and a part of your responsibility is how do I put this out there?
In other words, you're saying that because it was received wrong or misunderstood, then you felt like it was the wrong thing because part of your responsibility as an artist is how it's received.
Part of your responsibility as an artist seems to be, how is this received?
Okay.
I remember shaving my head maybe 12 years ago at the beginnings of Carol's Daughter coming out and Miss Jessie's Curly Putty.
Just because you wanted to.
It was because I wanted to.
Right.
But I didn't know that that made me Black. Right. All of a sudden, I was representing women with natural hair.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was
going to
happen.
But is that our responsibility to think through every single corner case of how, in that random moment in the world, people are going to attach the cultural moment to your individual action? Like, I think that people were upset about Donald Trump becoming president. And we were attacking anyone that was a person of color who put themselves anywhere in his peripheral because it was an attack against him.
If I had to say the scariest or most difficult thing for me to move through as an artist, it is now, how will people receive this?
Mentally.
I think it's the reason I haven't put out music. I think it's the reason why I don't say what I'm thinking all the time. And I think it's the reason why podcasting has been such a healer for me. Because I'm saying words and then I'm stepping back and look. Oh, I didn't die. There wasn't a death threat. And it's reestablishing my grounding as a new responsible artist. How do I get to be responsible this time? And this time I'm breathing through creating as opposed to creating from a place of, I can put a song out. I got to do something. I don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything.
And it's okay for me to rest in. Yeah, that's new for me.
I mean, I think that's very powerful. Now let's take a quick break from our sponsor. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the right tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you literally can't find anywhere else, and it does all of that while making the process easy and intuitive. I use LinkedIn every single time when I'm hiring candidates for Blavity and for Devon & Co., and I consistently find the top people who are right for our company's roles.
Hiring is so much easier when you have that many quality candidates to source from. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. So head over to LinkedIn to post your job for free on linkedin.com/divine. That's linkedin.com/divine to post your job for free. Terms and conditions, of course, apply. Thanks, LinkedIn. You've done the hard part. You've created your business, taking the leap to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode of a great podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about marketing strategies. In this episode, you'll learn how to identify your target customer, where to find them, and which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business, looking to take a side hustle full time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, this show covers it all. Coming up this month on the show, you'll learn how to grow your email list from Jenna Kutcher, and you'll get a step-by-step guide for accelerating your business growth with my favorite, Amy Porterfield. Make sure to follow This is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss those fantastic episodes. And big thanks to This is Small Business for sponsoring the Journey podcast by Morgan DeBond.
And I think that I'm sure whenever you're ready, the new music that you come out with, we will all be like, oh yeah, this feels good, you know?
And you may not. But now I know that that's okay too.
Okay.
Because we're in the studio all the time, right?
Yeah.
But I'm coming to the conclusion that someone's going to like this and somebody's not.
In other words, you're saying that you were at a point where you felt like you were creating and you were keeping in mind how things were being received. And now you're moving towards a place where you're not worried about how it's perceived.
Yeah. And that's coming from podcasting, if that makes sense.
Tell me more. Yeah.
Yeah. Hanging out in the comments with people, posting things like, what are your 5 non-negotiables and a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Just simple conversation is healing me because it's like, I can say things.
Got it. You're building up your ability to go back and forth. I understand. And I actually think that is really good advice. Like, if something feels hard or difficult, if it's hard for someone to strike up a conversation with another person, if it feels overwhelming to go into a room full of people and say, hi, how are you? I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Like, if that feels difficult, then every single day when you're at the coffee shop, when you're at the gas station, when you're at the grocery store, when you're checking out at freaking McDonald's, whatever you're doing, strike up a conversation, because then it won't feel as difficult when it's that moment.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I tell that to like students all the time. It's like, where can you practice?
Yeah.
And now I'm eating that advice with so much joy. Where can I practice? The podcast is sis.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Such a learning curve.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Because now I'm
tell
like,
me about your podcast.
Oh my God. When does the conversation start?
Yeah.
When is it over?
Yeah.
Did we make a point?
Yeah.
Like, did we deliver something to culture? Like, it is such a learning curve.
Yeah.
And so unlike a song, because a song, you sit there for a few hours.
Right.
You have a verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
Yes.
You know that the chorus has to get the point across.
That's right.
The bridge has to gap anything that you may not have gotten in a conversation. I'm freaking out. And it's so fun because I'm living in it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I'm lavishing in it. But when I share it, it's like, did they get the point? And
yeah.
Is it okay if they didn't?
Right.
Yeah.
It's always interesting too. My team sends me podcast clips like the night before the episode drops of, you know, here's what they thought were like the 3 or 4 moments. And they're like, which one do you think is going to go viral? And last night I was texting them and I said, honestly, this one, I don't know. Like I actually give up trying to predict what is going to go viral or not because I've been wrong many times.
Yeah.
And then the things that I'm like, this was common sense. Mm-hmm. Y'all thought that was interesting? And it's like, oh my God, this is epic. I'm like, yeah, this is so basic to me. So it's actually, I agree with you. It's really actually difficult. You do have to kind of just release that attachment.
There are recording artists who can do that.
Yeah.
Like there's this thing back in the day, Rihanna would like just go into a writing session and see, listen to all the songs and she would know which one was going to be a hit.
Wow.
I've seen that all the time. So the fact that someone asks you, which one do you think is going to go viral? Like I have always been afraid of that particular responsibility. And maybe I'll get more comfortable with it, But I love that you shared that. Like, I don't necessarily know.
I don't know anymore. And this is a woman who owns a giant media company.
Yeah.
Has content go viral.
You're an expert. Yeah.
I'm the definition of an expert in this space. The reason why it's difficult to predict is because the internet is changing, actually. Like, if this had been 5 years ago, I would have been like, this, because the systems and the computational part of an algorithm is consistent. It is no longer consistent. And Instagram, specifically, is updating its algorithm so much. And in fact, even I think as of recently as last week, they said, we're going to not promote political content anymore. Mm-hmm. And then in my head, I said, well, what's political? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not just talking about the election. They're talking about issue-based conversations.
No comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean you're not going to talk about issue? They said, we're not going to suppress it, but we're not going
to
promote
identity politics in their way.
No, they actually aren't being specific about what it means because they don't have to be because they're a monopoly. Point is, when you are sitting on a platform that owns the distribution, we do not own our own distribution on Instagram or TikTok or any platform. Sure. You are in some ways beholden to what they deem as brand safe, socially safe. You know, they're trying to make sure that they don't get sued and in trouble with the government. But for the rest of us who have things to say, when you suppress conversation about issues, what you're doing is you're actually putting more power in the people who have the power, who are the dominant, because no one's questioning you. We no longer have a place to have that conversation. So anyways, when it comes to predicting virality, that becomes difficult because used to be what makes things viral is a conversation and something that we don't all agree on, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, I wonder what's going to go viral now.
I watch a lot of this subject on YouTube.
Tell me more.
There's so many philosophers and conspiracy theorists and people who are looking at capitalism and really thinking through what does conversation 2024, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so my thoughts there, they're just fun thoughts, right?
Yeah.
I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
Are what about vulnerability culture? Mm-hmm. Like, is that a thing? And is that something that we're going to see a growth in? Especially if controversy or controversial conversation or I agree, I don't agree conversation is not the viral content. Is now the viral content going to be, I tried to commit whatever when I was 16 and this is what happened?
Actually, I think that's already happening, particularly on TikTok. Like, you know, people are taking pictures of themselves crying or videos of themselves crying. So I'm like, you're putting up a camera while you're crying? I mean, okay. That's a thing. Maybe I'm too old for this now. Like, I don't know. Where are we? Like, it does feel really weird.
I think that's where we are. And for me, if I'm completely honest, I feel so comfortable there.
Right. As a creative and an artist, you probably do. Yeah. As a business person, I'm like, what do you ever see from me? This is a video of me crying.
That's all I get to do, though. Every song is about a tear I shed.
That's right. I cry.
Yeah.
But I'm not
going to
put
a camera.
But
you don't write a song about it.
Yeah, I don't write a song about it. I don't build a business about it, you know?
Yeah.
So it is, I actually think vulnerability is increasing. And part of that is people sharing their truth, which may be happy, sad, mad, glad, whatever.
Feelings.
And I have adopted we're just going to go the unfiltered life. Like, my version of vulnerability is like, you're going to see me with no makeup on. You're going to see me with makeup on. You're going to see me with a messy house. You're going to see me with a clean house. Whatever the it is what you're going to see. Still, some things are going to be held privately for me. Like, my son's face is not going to go on Instagram and like that. But I do feel like we're moving into a different territory. And I'm curious how things are going to shake out in this election. Do you feel any pressure, any part of you want to partake in this upcoming election conversation?
No. I think that when it comes to politics in general, I like for people to understand the system that we live in. I like for them to understand how it affects them in their personal life, in their children's life, and then in the life of the community that they're a part of. And then what that means for them lifestyle-wise, like, how do you create a life in this climate, but in this system? Because I think a lot of times that whole idea of being responsible for everybody, which is valid, sometimes asks us to forget about what we actually think, what we actually might need. And if we're constantly spending most of our time apologizing, then we're never really participating, if that makes sense. We're never really, quote unquote, pushing culture forward because we're trying to figure out what culture is and we don't know who we are. I see that a lot. Like, we're so concerned with being responsible for everyone that we don't know who we are.
Yeah.
I think the exciting thing about vulnerability culture, if that's a term, is are you brave enough to say what you need, mm-hmm. right? And then how now that I've said that, does that resonate with the people around me? And then the conversation then is, and this is corny to say, but how can we get along? And so with politics, a lot of times because politics can be so black and white, we forget about getting along.
Mm. Mm-hmm. This country has absolutely forgotten about getting along.
Yeah.
That is no longer the objective, it feels like. It's just who wins.
Who wins.
And who loses.
And that's so scary because the big picture is there's only two sides to that.
Yeah.
But there are 300 million people in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there's only two sides, but there's over 300 million people, you can't possibly think everything that one of two people think or one of two sides think.
Right.
So I love politics.
Mm-hmm.
I love to study how this country is made. I'm actually very interested in that
mm-hmm.
conversation and that type of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But I love getting along too. And so how do I balance that? And I think my purpose, not my panic, mm-hmm. is work in the getting along space, which is how do you express yourself? Mental health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make yourself feel safe? How do you remind yourself that I know that I experienced that trauma, but now I can heal from that trauma and be what I need to be for myself. And then I can participate.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my purpose is in the mental health space. That feels like a cop out saying it that way, but I think it contributes to the overall
I think everyone has to make a decision this mm-hmm. election season, how they want to participate
yeah.
and how they want to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are deciding not to even engage because they're not happy with the dual,
either
option. Yeah. And I think that it is important to decide what are the issues and the criteria that makes the most sense for me, my yeah. family. And then how I think about it is like the group of people that I've decided that I am responsible for.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
You know,
I think that's the point. And I think that's the part that people are most afraid to admit.
Mm.
Who do I decide to get along with? Who do I decide to be responsible for? And for a lot of people, I'm shouting at this point.
It's okay.
But for some people,
they got the audio levels.
Yeah. For some people, that's your family. And
yeah.
it's this, we live in this neighborhood. This is who we are. And this is what we vote. And then for so many of us, because we understand that we're an oppressed community, mm-hmm. so to speak, we're voting for each other.
Yeah.
And that's a thing too. And it's valid and it's valuable and it's important and it's a yeah. conversation. There's that term silent majority.
Mm-hmm.
But like silent oppressed minority, is that a thing?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think we're there.
It's like, hi, I'm the silent majority. Well, I'm the silent oppressed minority.
Like, how y'all doing over there?
Yeah. So that's a voice.
Yeah. Or maybe we're not silent. We're the loud oppressed minority.
But I think that there's a silent one too. That's
yeah.
actually my point.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot of times when it comes to this group of people,
mm-hmm.
we feel like if we're not loud, we're not participating.
Mm.
And that's so unfair, especially back to mental health in the neurodivergent space.
Yeah.
Like some people are not prone to shouting.
Right.
Some people are literally unavailable to that much color
mm-hmm.
publicly mm-hmm. or in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of responsibility feels unfair to their makeup.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they don't care,
yeah.
but they don't express themselves that way. Now am I canceled because I don't talk like you?
Mm.
I believe the same things,
mm-hmm.
but I don't show up in the same way.
Mm.
So the question is, do I still get to belong to the community or am I canceled
right.
because I don't act that way?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, as you're saying that, that reminds me of my friend Levy. She has become just such a beacon of someone who says a lot of things that we all think.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, she's been talking about the situation in Palestine and the genocide. And more importantly, from her note, also how many white women she has been in battle with, or they've been trying to battle her. She's not really battling back with them because she's like, I don't owe you a response. But they were like down for the cause when she was fighting for women.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's fighting for another silent minority, oppressed mm-hmm. minority, they are like attacking her,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, if you're going to follow Levy, then you're going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I just find that like as Black women, oftentimes if everyone doesn't agree with us, mm-hmm. then people are like, oh, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you were in when it was convenient for you. Yeah. But now that I'm fighting for someone else or another part of my identity or the issues or the people that I feel responsible for, you're out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the word identity is so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Because then there's like this intersection of identities across, oh gosh, there's so many spaces and places. So when someone agrees with you, when this is your identity here, mm-hmm. and then you move into another facet of your identity, sometimes the heart can be broken if people don't have that facet with you. Mm. And so the question is, do I still stand as strong without as much support? Mm-hmm. That's so difficult.
But you kind of have to.
Yeah. No. You are.
You're already there. Right.
That's your existence.
Yeah.
And so you absolutely, the word have to is so subjective there. It's like,
I guess that's what I'm saying. You have to. You're already there. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, can't, no take backs. Like, it's no who you are.
This is who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
For instance, for me, I'm a woman of faith. Like, mm-hmm. that's the easy part. So do I suddenly get to lose my faith when the world is against me? No.
Right.
Right? Do I suddenly get to lose my faith when you don't agree with me? No. But at church, we're all in agreement on Sunday morning.
Yes.
Right? It's not until I'm a Christian in a place that you don't have any identity in. Mm-hmm. That's the secular music industry for some people.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if I can support her over there. And I don't get to take that personal. And I still get to pray backstage with a stranger who is going through something that's uncomfortable for them. Mm-hmm. And I still get to be the Christian that I am in a place that you don't even identify with.
Right.
So I think that's for all of us. It's like, who am I first before anybody agrees with me, before anybody's interested in what I'm saying? Who am yeah. I first? And boundaries are, I don't have to not be who I am just because you don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
One of the things that you said recently is that being healed is not a flex.
It ain't, girl.
What do you mean by that?
Because I want to be healed. And then you don't want to do nothing else after that. It's like, sis, now what? I'm sorry. That irks me. Because healing is not funny. It's not exciting. It's not this fun thing that you get to do on Instagram, although it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like a process. People are like, I've been my healing girl
era. People would always be saying that to me. It's so beautiful to watch you heal, sis. That is not the flex.
Right.
The flex is, if there was one, now that I'm healed, right? And if you ask me, there's always places to heal. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm healed in this particular space, how can I function? Right? Because the thought for me there was, when you're not healed, something's broken. Mm. And so you can't really use it. Mm. Right? Now that it's healed,
there's no more ammo. This ammo's gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So are you using your healed part? Mm. Are you using your heart now? And a lot of times people's hearts get healed and then they don't use it anymore. And it's like, well, that's what happened to me last time. Okay, so then healing's not the flex. The flex now is being brave enough to be who you're called to be after you've been healed. Because mm-hmm. for me, the healing was in this secret place where nobody was looking. You're canceled. Okay, give me a minute. I'm going to go into this secret hiding place and get my healing. And I'm going to that up because I ain't trying to go back to the hospital. Right? I'm not trying to go back to hell. I have a phrase I said once, if you're going to go to hell, you might as well come out well done.
That's right.
Like, I'm burnt to a crisp at this point. So that now when I come back out, if I don't have anything to offer after finally getting to functionality, mm-hmm. then what's the point of being here now? Yeah, you did something that broke you, maybe broke other people's hearts, but get fixed. And then once you're fixed, like, come out and kill it as best you can mm-hmm. in your own time with your boundaries. Don't hold on so tightly to staying healed that you don't heal somebody else or operate in your purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like healing, but being in a silo. It's like, girl, I mean.
And it's so tempting
yeah.
to like sit in your bath with your incense burning.
You know what I mean?
And your I'm little book. Do you know?
Yeah.
And never come out.
Yeah. That's how I feel when I go to Costa Rica. I'm
yeah.
like, I'm in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. I'm in the tropics. Like, ugh, everything's fine. Like, nothing can get to me. Nothing can break me. Nothing can like block it in. Right? Mm-hmm. But I can't live in Costa Rica forever.
Yeah.
I have to re-enter. And bring that part with me, mm-hmm. you know?
The hardest response to the term protecting your peace for me is, if you have to protect your peace, then your peace isn't strong enough.
Hmm.
Like, at what point, first of all, did you create peace? It's not even your creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's this thing that's been offered to you for you.
Mm.
You don't have to make it. Remember, in my healing journey, I thought that creating peace was how I healed.
Mm-hmm.
Creating a smoothie in the morning was how I'm going to heal.
Mm.
Creating a better way to make up my bed is how I'm going to heal. Mm. If I make velvet as my comforter, I'm going to heal.
Right.
And it's like, no, I didn't create peace. I didn't make peace.
Yeah.
Peace is an offering that's been given to me. And so now I'm navigating, going back out into the world, but letting peace be what protects me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And constantly meditating on this idea that peace surrounds me. And that's what makes me brave. That imagination or that meditation mm-hmm. or that affirmation mm-hmm. constantly is what makes me brave enough to go outside. Because
mm-hmm.
girl, ain't nobody trying to go outside and get bullied and beat up and intimidated.
Certainly not in real life and not online.
Yeah. So now in my mind, I'm like, you're going to have to come through my peace first.
Yeah, which is going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
Which is going to be very difficult.
Because you don't understand it. It's imaginary. You can't even see it. Yeah. But I know it's there. Right. So when you come in with the wrong energy, I notice it because you're by my peace.
Yeah.
So yeah, let your peace like surround you and you won't have to be so worried about the people surrounding you.
I love that.
Yeah.
What is your hope for your podcast and the audience that discovers you on audio? Because what I found is that my audience on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, they're all very different people. Like it's a bit of a Venn diagram or like maybe there's like a 10% overlap. But the people who listen to audio and podcasts are like not the same. Mm-hmm. Like 80% of them have no idea what's going on these other platforms. So what is your hope with this new community that you're cultivating?
First of all, can I say that you are so amazing to me? I've sat and watched back to back to back just your mind in the podcasting space and just your knowledge of how you see things because not everybody has the patience, the wherewithal, and enough platforms to understand that these are all different spaces and places.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the honor or the opportunity to serve in different ways on mm-hmm. each.
Thank you.
So
it is a privilege. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. And I love to see you think through it because I'm like, really? It's okay to think?
Yeah.
You know, she's the expert. So I think some of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love to watch you work through that and share it. It's a gift. So thank you. Mm-hmm. My hope in the podcast space is one simple thing, which is to be the hand that pulls somebody up that I wish I had in my darkest hour.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the coolest things that I got to do when I was quote unquote down was read books and listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain people that pulled me up. I was in the middle of a divorce at the same time.
Right.
So there were people who pulled me up. And those usually weren't people that I was sitting next to.
Right.
I mean, my mom and dad and my brothers were there.
Yeah.
But I needed so much community.
Yeah.
And that came in the form of books and podcasts. So that's one thing is how I wanted to serve is to pull people up when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, it really is me saying to myself, you're allowed to say things.
Yeah. Your earlier point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We watched Miley Cyrus at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
One thing she said was, I'm performing tonight so I can wake up tomorrow morning, turn on the TV and watch myself perform.
Beautiful.
And I was like, girl.
Bad bitch energy.
Bad bitch energy. I was so moved. I was moved to tears.
Yeah.
And she got on that stage in her silver dress without any background
so fun.
And just had what looked to me like a blast. Yeah.
Looked like she was having fun.
Parts of my life I gift to myself as a blast
mm-hmm.
so that I can watch myself evolve. And so part of podcasting for me is watching myself evolve
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't look as bad as I thought it did. You know?
Yeah.
And it gives me some perspective. Like, Chrissy, you're okay.
Yeah, like,
you're
it's okay. Gonna be okay.
You're gonna be okay. So the podcast gives me that strength. And it's not such a big risk that something crazy can happen if I fail.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a soft,
yep.
Just try it.
And with podcasts, frankly, you don't even really have to have input. You mm-hmm. can just do output.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yeah. I think you're gonna wind up with input because you are already doing that. But you could have a podcast where all you do is distribute.
Yeah. So Sean Anthony mm-hmm. is my podcast manager.
Yeah.
And he shares that particular point, which is so risky.
Good.
Because if you're being responsible for how things are received, which I need to go to therapy about, like clearly that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're,
I love that you just said,
but clearly I need to work through that. I'm going to bring that up. I keep saying
I'm going to bring that up. I'm not sure how much I believe it. I'm going to talk through that one.
Sure, can we unpack
that? That's what real active therapy is for anyone listening. Like, I say the same. I'm like, mark that down for my executive coach because I know I did not handle that shit right. And we're going to need to circle that back.
Yeah. We're going to have to circle it back. How responsible am I for my output?
Yeah.
And on what level, in which level?
Right.
In the podcasting space, do I get to just have freedom?
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt safe just releasing music, ever.
So maybe this is a good muscle for you.
Yeah, this is an incredible experience.
It's a weekly grind.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. It's a big commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people think, oh no. Whatever. I'm like, no, this is a full-time job.
Yeah.
For people who already have.
Full-time job. Yeah. But that's why I'm so excited that the music part has a system.
Yeah.
Because the podcasting spot is like, I told my sister yesterday, Tiara, girl, this learning curve, every single week, I'm going to be learning something out.
Yeah.
And it's, I would say, like free therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's a free evolution kit is what my podcast is for me.
Yeah, I love that. I say my podcast is very selfish.
Mm.
I oftentimes invite people that I'm like, I just want to know what you think. What do you want people to take away from this conversation? Like, how do you want the journey audience to engage with you in this new phase for you?
That I'm on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's so exciting to say out loud. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am obsessed with journeys.
Yeah.
I love stories. It's how I write music. I write stories and that's what the songs are. So for people to know that Chrissy is on a journey, she's figuring it out every day. And that's the reason why I wake up every morning,
mm-hmm.
to communicate that journey, to include myself in that journey, to look at that journey. The story is my jam.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the journey audience takes anything away, it would be that I'm on one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Received.
Thank you for being here today.
I had so much fun.
So good. All right, y'all, if you enjoyed this conversation, please follow, subscribe to Chrisette's new incredible podcast. I'll be tuning in. And also make sure that you are leaving me a review on both Spotify and iTunes. I'm now trying to rank on Spotify. You guys know I'm too ambitious for my own good sometimes, but help me out. Leave me a review and I'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to the Journey Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you leave a review and head to our Instagram and YouTube to leave a comment. I look forward to hearing how this podcast has made an impact on your own journey.